Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
So this is week two of a series of messages I'm delivering on spiritual leadership based on the book Creating the Beloved Community by CSL, Centers for Spiritual Living Minister Jim Lockhart. And in this series, what I want to awaken with everybody is that we are all spiritual leaders. Whether or not we claim that title for ourselves, but the truth is we are all spiritual leaders because we all have an animating spirit, and our spirit connects with everybody else's spirit. Our life energy is always connecting with everybody else's. And so at any given moment of time and in space, we are influencing the others around us, primarily by our willingness to let our light shine, by our willingness to live in integrity, by our willingness to live as a conduit of wisdom and grace. So we're all spiritual leaders. You know, I'm just looking around the room here and thinking about looking at the AV team in back. So Bob McMillan writes this incredible blog about wellness for seniors. And I read it all the time because apparently Harris Teeter now thinks I'm a senior because I get my discount on Thursdays. It's incredible. It's like, well, I've gotten so much good out of that. That really helps me stay flexible and all of that. So read the Come Alive Project. Bob McMillan is a spiritual leader. Edie McMillan joining us today in person. He's like, yay, there's another person. Edie has been a professional educator in her life, awakening in the life of children, the understanding that they can learn and they can grow and be empowered and be loved. And when I first started here at Unity of Fairfax, April 1st, 2013, we did not have a youth and family ministry director. That individual's tenure ended the day before. Edie stepped up and said, I'll keep things going. I will always remember that. When I felt lost and alone, I had a leader to follow who gave selflessly of her time and talents. Sam Lee's on the AV booth, and Sam teaches nonviolent communication. He also helps people connect with perfect transportation. Both of these are services to help people get their needs met. Spiritual leaders, all three. Not to mention all the other ones in the building. So I want you to realize that you are a spiritual leader. Every one of us is influencing others and making an impact and a difference, whether you know it or not. So it is important that you wake up and realize that I am as God created me, and I am good, and I have something to offer to the world. And that our leadership is dependent on our willingness to serve. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King once said, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. And whether you're, it doesn't matter what your profession is or your volunteer service, the consciousness with which you do it makes all the difference in the world. So we are creating the beloved community of leaders. Each one of us is a leader in our community, whether that's your family, your church, your school, your workplace, your nation, and yes, even your homeowners association, especially there. Trust me, I live in Reston. I know a little bit about this. So do those folks back there. They know exactly what I'm talking about. So what is the beloved community? Jim Lockhart gives us a really good definition in his book. It goes like this. People on a spiritual pathway who seek a closer relationship with God, however named and defined, and as people who will take their spiritual awareness into the world to be examples of love and compassion in action. And it's interesting that right over the AV booth is our core value banner, love in action. So that's what we're here to do. We are here to do that work. Now, the reality is sometimes we fall short. Of course we do. We are all in our humanity, and as Paul says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Yes, I know. I have made grievous mistakes in my desire to be an active part of the beloved community. Well, who hasn't? But the mistakes are ways in which we learn. Well, one of the ways, anyway, that's the hard way. I prefer the easy way, but the hard way often makes a more lasting impression. So will we learn from our mistakes? What did we learn? What happened? And how can we move forward? Well, we have a community called the United States of America. Last Wednesday, we had quite an experience. Very upsetting. Across the board, everyone was upset. When a mob takes over Congress, that's a problem. How did this come to be? Well, lots of factors, and I don't even want to get into them all. They have plenty of pundits and politicians and opinion people who will give all kinds of explanations and definitions. But one explanation that works for me answers a question that I saw repeated in the papers. Our democracy is fragile. That didn't work for me. It didn't sit right. It didn't feel good. Because I realized our democracy is not fragile. Our nation is not weak. This divine experiment that we call the United States is exceedingly very strong. And we are a living organism, our country. Just as each one of us is a living organism. I know very strong people who have made very bad decisions. I know very strong people who have been impacted by very serious illness and addressed it, made amends when it was appropriate to do so, took corrective measures for healing when they were available, and came out stronger on the other side, and made a life's work of serving and helping others. That's where I've landed, and that's what has allowed me to be a member of this beloved community that we call the United States and Unity of Fairfax. I'm very grateful that we were able to pull together a prayer vigil impromptu Wednesday night. We had 60 people come. That was super. Because prayer is a way in which I, as a spiritual leader, stay grounded, stay focused. And it was wonderful to have so many people join us on a last moment. Everybody I know who has made a grievous mistake in their life, if they will avail themselves of the tools of spiritual practice, will find that strength within themselves to move on in a better, more empowered way. And everybody who has experienced significant illness, if they will use their tools, will find that there was a blessing in the experience that they might be able to share and move forward in a stronger capacity. It doesn't take away from the significance and the seriousness of whatever the precipitating event was, but allows us to find meaning and purpose in it, and to ultimately be grateful for it. Now, I realize a lot of us aren't there yet with the storming of the Capitol. But that's where I hope we go. With the realization we are stronger together. We can heal and move forward. The embodiment of our core values and our national ethos is an evolutionary process. Just as it is for each one of us as a spiritual being, as a human being, to actualize our potential, it is a process. I've even heard in some circles, there's this line they use called progress, not perfection. That seems to work for me. I hope it'll work for you, because it'll let us know that there's always hope. There's always a brighter day ahead if we're willing to lean into it and claim it. You know, the great Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung once said, and I'm going to paraphrase, the great issues of our lives ultimately are unsolvable. We simply outgrow them. We outgrow them. Paul said in his writings in the Christian scriptures, when I was a child, I thought like a child, and now I'm a man, I think like a man. I have a greater capacity to understand. So maybe like Miss Wolf's class at animal school, we can also learn to realize that there's going to be all kinds of folks in our world. We have a choice as to how we address them, how we live with them, how we co-create with them, whether we want to or not. They ain't going away. It's in much the same way when we do our own inventory work and look within our consciousness and see what's there. If we're honest with ourselves, we will see power and grace and love and wisdom, along with those other traits we might have, like fear and ignorance and lack and limitation. Those are all there. Which ones are we going to feed? Which ones will we simply admit? Because sometimes, even the ones that appear negative at first are the seeds that allow us to grow into our greatness. It's not a matter of denying them or projecting them onto somebody else. It's a matter of recognizing them and asking, what gift have you brought me? It's a matter of recognizing them and knowing we are still good people. Because what happens, spiritual leaders, a lot of folks, maybe it was just me, and I'm shamelessly projecting once again, have seen a negative trait or attribute, and therefore, because there is a negative part within me, said, I must be a bad person. Or maybe an authority figure pointed that out and said, therefore, you're a bad person. We teach something very different here. In unity and in new thought, we teach again, we are always evolving and growing into the fullness of that Christ spirit within us, which means we must recognize where we started, what were our building blocks, knowing that we start on a foundation of goodness. And these things that don't seem to fit, well, those are stepping stones to owning our true self, to growth. So as spiritual leaders, having a human experience, we have to recognize that within ourselves and, yes, acknowledge it within others. And our work as a community is to therefore model. I'm doing my work. I'm loving myself, and I'm willing to love you as you do your work or even as you refuse to do your work. See, that's what gets frustrating for us, isn't it? Why won't they do? Why won't you? All of that. We must remain poised. And here is a great secret that all spiritual leaders must be aware of. That in order to be fully present to life on life's terms, it is very helpful for us to maintain a state of poise. Now, poise is a wonderful word. It means a state of balance or equilibrium, a dignified, self-confident manner or bearing, composure or self-possession. Poise. It means we're not going to get knocked off our kilter too easily. It means we're willing to bend and flow with life as life happens. Because let me tell you, life's going to happen. Stuff that you don't like is going to happen, and it's going to come right at you. But when you realize your oneness with your Creator, as you understand that Creator to be, when you realize and know that you are inherently good, then you can be present to that and not take ownership of it and not allow it to define you and limit you and curtail how you express the light of God that you are in the world. And the way we do that is through our spiritual practice. Through the quality of our prayer, through our willingness to meditate, through our willingness to take care of ourselves, through our willingness to be self-aware. It is a huge task what we ask our people in unity and new thought. Leadership is always a huge task that requires self-awareness and self-care. You cannot burn yourself out as a minister. Okay, I'm just talking to myself. I got a sabbatical coming up. You cannot burn yourself out as a spiritual leader or as a human being caring for everybody else all the time without refilling your tank. And you can't be effective as a leader and a contributor to the world without being self-aware to know what you have that is your wheelhouse and what's your growth area, and when you need to step aside and recharge. So there's some good news in those two regards. Reverend Ron will be offering classes on these two various topics, self-care and self-awareness, later in the springtime. So we're excited about that. But your poise must come from how you feed your soul, your spirit. Prayer takes a lot of forms. Spiritual practice takes a lot of forms. It can be going to your meeting. It can be going to your study group. It can be singing. It can be the way in which you care for your physical body. It can be the way in which you pray and the types of prayer. But whatever it is, it must be meaningful to you and fill you up. That's how we maintain poise. It can be having a counselor or a friend with whom you can share honestly without judgment. I often say one of our greatest needs we have as human beings is the capacity just to speak and be heard. And the greatest gift you can give another is simply to listen without judgment. Just to listen. Some folks just need to process and work it out in order to maintain poise so they can get back in the arena and contribute and share and serve. That's what we need to do as spiritual leaders, contributing to the world. Lastly, I want to speak just for a moment about a term that was coined by Mahatma Gandhi in 1919. I'm going to probably woefully mispronounce it. It's called satyagraha. From two Hindi words, the first one satya meaning truth, and agraha meaning insistence or sometimes obstinacy. As leaders in the world, each one of us must make a decision what we believe to be true and stick to it. And use our poise and stick to it. Because whether we're helping people become healthy, whether we're teaching children to read, whether we're doing project management, teaching a communication style, or inviting the choir to learn how to use Zoom effectively at choir rehearsal, we must be insistent upon the truth. But that truth, remember, is that everybody is good somewhere in there. That truth that we teach insists that there is a way we can all move forward. That truth insists that there is always a divine idea seeking to be expressed to address every condition and situation, especially when we're feeling nervouser and the world is very changey. But if we hold to that, if we care for ourselves, we engage in our practice, we will find we are all effective spiritual leaders in whatever circle we are in. And that just because we were present, our presence was a gift. I'd like to close with just a moment of prayer. And so I invite you to close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. Take a big, deep breath in and let it go with an ah or a sigh. And just remember, I am as God created me. I am created in the image and likeness, in the energy and the vibration of all that is good. And in my groundedness of this truth, of this knowing that I will hold to, I commit to serving. I commit to serving the world with my gifts and talents when it is easy and when it is exceedingly difficult. Because wherever I am, God is. And I can ebb and flow and be flexible. And I can open my heart when it seems like that is the last thing I want to do. And I can be open to the divine guidance that lets me know what is mine to do at any moment of time, in any place. It gives me confidence, peacefulness, and poise. And as I claim this for myself, I affirm it for everyone else, because we are all in this together, whether we like it or not. So may everyone experience the blessings and benefit I affirm for myself, so that we may all live in a world of peace, abundance, and respect for all creation. This is the affirmation and the intention that we set this day in and through the power of the living Christ. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.